Genesis 16 today, and the story of running out of patience for God to keep his promises. Have you ever had to wait a long time for God to come through on his promises? Have you ever been tempted to sort of make God's promises happen your way instead of God's way? That's the story here in Genesis 16. Abram had received incredible promises from God of countless descendants, abundant land, and a blessing for the entire world. Abram believed, and his wife Sarai followed faithfully. But now, time has passed. Years gone by. Abram is 85 and Sarai about 75. And Sarai is tired of waiting. Let's start at verse 1. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. She had a female Egyptian servant whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said to Abram, "Behold now, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Go into my servant. It may be that I shall obtain children by her." And Abram listened to the voice of Sarai. So Sarai has had enough of waiting on God. Sometimes believing is not the hard part. This time, the waiting is the hardest part. And Sarai's concerns are not petty. Not having kids can be a heartbreaker. Sarai has been in Canaan, living like a refugee for 10 years, and she finally hits a breakdown. So Sarai is tired of waiting on God's promises, and she gets a plan. She tells her husband, "Go into my servant Hagar, and it may be that I shall obtain children by her." Now that probably sounds very strange to you and I, because it is, but it was a normal practice back then. Hagar would basically be like an old school surrogate mom. Abram would marry Hagar, but the children they have would be considered Sarai's, so that she could have descendants. It was an acceptable custom then, but was it God's plan? As far as we can tell, Abram never took the time to find out. He never prayed about it. He never waited on the Lord for an answer. He just listened, decided it was reasonable enough, and went for it. In verse 3, Abram married Hagar, so they weren't technically in adultery, just bigamy, which I guess looks better on paper, but will it work out? Read verse 4. And he went in to Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, she looked with contempt on her mistress. And Sarai said to Abram, "May the wrong done to me be on you. I gave my servant to your embrace, and when she saw that she had conceived, she looked on me with contempt. May the Lord judge between you and me." So Sarai's plan worked, but it didn't exactly work out, not as she'd hoped anyway. That's the way it goes when you try to keep God's promises your way. So Sarai gets mad, and she won't back down. Now, Abram's got to be thinking, this was your idea. Stop changing your mind and stop dragging my heart around. So in verse 6, Abram said to Sarai, "Behold, your servant is in your power. Do to her as you please." And Sarai dealt harshly with her, and she fled from her. So Abram's got two marriages now, and both of them have turned to bickering. Hagar runs for it, out into the great wide open. She's not running down a dream, she's just free-falling. And that leaves me just about out of Tom Petty songs. But seriously though, what about this bigamy thing? Does the Bible endorse a man marrying two wives? Let's stop here a minute. The Bible records the story here, but does it endorse it? One of the great things about God's Word is that it tells the story like it happened. The Bible is real, and real life is complicated. As for bigamy, God's initial design is one man married to one woman. The Bible never endorses or encourages bigamy. Every Bible story with bigamy tells it like it happened. What happened was always messy. Every time, there's jealousy, conflict, and strife. Here in Abram's story, the second marriage turns every relationship into arguing and discord. Multi-marriages happen in this world, and the Bible tells it like it is. Later on in the New Testament, the apostles give directions to go back to God's original plan. Christian leaders are told to have only one spouse. But how do you clean up the mess when a man already has two wives? God steps in to do just that in verse 7. The angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, the spring on the way to Shur. And he said, "Hagar, servant of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going?" She said, "I am fleeing from my mistress Sarai." The word fleeing there is also translated running away. And that's just what Hagar is. She's a runaway. Young, pregnant, married into a situation way over her head, and feeling lost. And guess who comes chasing after the runaway? Hagar didn't find him. It says the angel of the Lord found her. So who is this angel of the Lord? He's a mysterious character, and he shows up several times in the Old Testament at key moments visiting some of our Old Testament heroes. This is his first time. He's called the angel of the Lord, not just an angel, the angel. Now, the word angel means messenger, so this isn't necessarily one of the created angels or demons as you normally think about them. This is the messenger of the Lord. Now, Bible scholars have different theories on who this is, but watch carefully how he's treated. And watch the words that are used to describe him. We'll get back to that in a minute. For now, let's see what he has to say to our runaway girl, Hagar. Verse 9, "The angel of the Lord said to her, 'Return to your mistress and submit to her.'" And he goes on, "I will surely multiply your offspring so that they cannot be numbered for multitude. Behold, you are pregnant and shall bear a son. You shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has listened to your affliction." The compassion of the Lord shines through here. Understand that what Hagar was doing was essentially kidnapping the child that she was pregnant with. While running away was understandable, it was definitely illegal. And yet the angel of the Lord doesn't condemn her. He tells her to go home where she'll be safer, and gives her some promises. Her descendants will be numerous, too numerous to count, and her son will be named Ishmael. Ishmael means God will hear, because the Lord listens, even to the cries of a pregnant runaway girl in a crazy situation. Now Ishmael is not the son of the promise made to Abraham. However, God did keep his promise to Hagar. Ishmael is the forefather of the Arab nations. The angel of the Lord gave Hagar some idea about what kind of man her son would be. Ishmael would be a born fighter. And then in verse 13, "So she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, 'You are a God of seeing,' for she said, 'Truly, here I have seen him who looks after me.'" Now wait a second. Watch the words carefully there in verse 13. It's not the angel who spoke to her, it is the Lord who spoke to her, using the name of God himself. And Hagar calls him the God of seeing, or the God who sees me. In Hebrew, it's El Roy. It's a name of God. Hagar understands that the angel of the Lord is God in the flesh. Now, as I understand it, when God appears in the flesh, it is the second part of the Trinity, the Son. This is Jesus Christ appearing long before he came to earth as the babe of Bethlehem. Watch carefully every time you see the angel of the Lord pop up, and you'll find a clue that gives away his true nature. And when Hagar understands who the angel of the Lord is, she says something beautiful. "Truly here I have seen him who looks after me." And surely that is the nature of Jesus, looking after the lost runaway girl in a crazy situation caused by some of his own people who took God's plan and got it all messed up. If that's you, whether you're the runaway or the believers who messed up God's plan, remember the God who sees and looks after you. Read Genesis 16 today and watch God's compassion and faithfulness. If you've heard God's promise but you're struggling with the waiting, may your faith be matched by your patience. And please let God work out his plan and his way. Wait for the Lord. Take heart and wait for the Lord.
Join us next time as we continue the journey one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.